0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Nicholas Coon completes his £17 million move from Celtic to Como. Russell Martin doesn't expect to sign any more centre-backs despite Robin Proper being on the verge of leaving, and the competitive action is back in Scotland this weekend with Partick Thistle kicking things off in the Premier Sports Cup tonight away to Edinburgh City. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight, it's Hugh Keevans.
For me, Andrew, a watershed day in the transfer window where Celtic are concerned. In 2025, they have now taken £30 million in. 10 for Kyogo, 17 for Nicholas Coon, and that £3 million kickback after Jeremy Frimpong left Bayer Leverkusen for Liverpool. £30 million. I think the Celtic fans will tonight expect to see activity in the transfer window accelerated. And what about Rangers so far? The player trading model. So far, five players in. Gassama from Sheffield Wednesday, apparently going to be number six before the end of the weekend, and none out. So you can't have it that way. You can't add six players to the wage bill and not offload any. So interesting times for the old firm.
Yeah, a lot happening in the transfer market, but football is back as of tonight. Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle away to Edinburgh City and a host of good fixtures across the Premier Sports Cup group stages tomorrow.
Yeah, well, in honour of all the people who have been here on the programme, Gordon DL will now be referring to Morton as Billy Davies' Morton. They're away to Peterhead tomorrow. We already referred to Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle, their away to Edinburgh City, as you pointed out. And, of course, Marvin Bartley's Livingston, who are away to East Fife tomorrow. So our hearts are with all of them.
Yes, lots of interesting ties. Maybe you've got your eyes on those games, whether you're a Partick Thistle fan that's making the journey through to Edinburgh tonight. We want to hear from you, 0141 951 1025, or maybe you are a supporter making a trip tomorrow to one of your games. Kilmarnock fans going all the way up to Brora. What a first game of the season that is, Hugh.
Oh, thank you. I'll be elsewhere.
You know, not fancy going up and cover that one for us?
I'm not sure even know where Brora is.
It's way, way up north.
Really?
You're thinking a good 5-hour trip from here, I reckon, on a good day.
Well, I've got two grandchildren now back from my leg. That was a 5-hour trip away. They've been there for a year, so I'm happy to live round the corner again now.
Might be a nice day for the beach up there anyway, so maybe someone else will fancy it. I'm sure a lot of Kilmarnock fans will be making the journey, and plenty of good games. So any thoughts on those? 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, Nicholas Coon is away to Como. We knew it was going to happen, but today was the confirmation. Reports are of £17 million. That's after just 18 months ago joining for £3 million. What do you make of that business? What do Celtic need to do now that they've got that £17 million in the bank? Rangers fans, Russell Martin has been speaking down at that St George's Park training camp that Rangers are at the moment. He says Robin Proper, a bid has been accepted, or they've accepted a bid from FC 20. He looks to be going back to his former club, but says he doesn't expect to sign any more central defenders. Does that surprise you? 0141 951 1025. He did say that they're hoping to complete that deal for Jadon Gassama from Sheffield Wednesday as well, but a few complications because there's quite a bit going on at Sheffield Wednesday, financial problems, potentially a takeover as well. Any thoughts on anything else? 0141 951 1025. Let's go straight to the phones, shall we? Because Thomas is a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. Thomas, what are you thinking tonight?
I thought, like, on Sky Sports this afternoon, it was saying that we were interested in Tonner Toady.
Well, that one's been bubbling away for weeks now. I still think that Connor Cody will leave Leicester and be at Rangers.
It's an interesting one, though, because Russell Martin today was asked the question about central defenders, said that he probably didn't expect to add in that area, but reports suggest that Connor Cody still could be coming in, so kind of conflicting.
Transfer business is awkward at this time of the year. You know, Nicholas Coon went to Italy on Monday, and only this evening do we get confirmation that he's actually signed for Cesc Fabregas at Como. Rangers, five in. Gassama may make it six. If Connor Cody makes it seven, the wage bill is going up the way and no one's leaving. And Andrew Kavanagh can't have it that way. So I'd be looking for Rangers to offload in the very near future. But Conor Cody, there's still a possibility.
Yeah, do you think? Are you hoping that that's one that's going to happen, Thomas?
Yeah, I do.
What is it that you think he would bring to Rangers that would make him a good asset?
It would be his leadership that we've been missing ever since Dalton left. Like, we've missed a real leader at the bat last season.
Yeah, another interesting thing that Russell Martin was talking about today, he was talking about having a British core to the squad, and he says that he feels that's important for success. He feels that players from Scotland or England, for example, maybe know more about what it's like to play for Rangers and what it means to represent the club. And he also says that, you know, he wants players that are going to go to war for him. It looks like a deliberate effort from him at the moment to shop in that English market, and it doesn't look as if it's going to finish up now.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what he knows. He's never played football in Scotland, so he knows that market very, very well. But a combination of Scottish, oblique British players and foreign players works well. Celtic thrived because of Japanese players when Ange Postecoglou got here. But there was always that Scottish core with McGregor and Forrest and Taylor. If he can get a Scottish influence there, but he's got Barron, he's got Lyle, Cameron, so it's there. It's just very interesting with Rangers. We need evidence of what's going on the park. We need to see the Panathinaikos game a week on Tuesday, and then the return, to find out how Russell Martin goes about his business and how many of the new players in, and there could be seven by that time, how many actually start.
Thomas, say hypothetically those deals for Conor Cody and JD Gassama go through, do you think there's still work to be done by Russell Martin in the transfer window after that?
I do, but I think if we get the two players in, then I can see a few players leaving.
Yeah, that's a clear area. I think today Russell Martin was saying that a few players didn't go down to that St George's Park training camp, Jose Cifuentes being one of them, Robin Proper, of course, who looks to be on his way back to Holland, Leon King, Clinton Nsiala. He essentially said that you can sort of, you know, ascertain from them not being there that they may be moved on. But do you feel there is more bodies in that Rangers need to get out the door as well, Hugh?
The squad's bloated, and a bloated squad is no use to a head coach. Financially, it's not a good thing. The wage bill, as I say, continues to go in an upward direction. And it's not good for a head coach to have that amount of players. People will have to go. And I would imagine that Andrew Kavanagh, to go back to the 49ers Enterprises, will be looking to cash in on one or two players.
Well, thank you to Thomas. 01419511025 on the phones. Maybe you want to add to that. Maybe you want to bring up something else. That is the number you'd need. Let's speak to Malcolm, who is a Celtic fan. Malcolm, do you feel that that's a good bit of money that you got for Nicholas Kuhn today? Is that a good deal?
Oh.
You got us, Malcolm?
Cut off here for a second. Sorry if it was off and you said.
Yes, got you now. Just saying £17 million for Nicholas Kuhn, do you feel that's a real good bit of business for Celtic?
Well, if you're looking at a player trading model, how can that maybe 18 months, whatever he got, 3.5, 4 million, whatever it is, profit, 14 million straight, absolute, did a job for us, superb.
Yeah, that's exactly the model that Celtic are looking at. Pretty much every club really is to buy low, sell high. An 18-month turnover for a player like Nicholas Kuhn, who certainly, you know, contributed, had the first half of last season where he was, you know, one of the top players in the country. Certainly got 21 goals last season. So Celtic will be happy that they've managed to get that money for him and flip that quite quickly.
The profit margin is staggering, and Celtic make a habit of this, and that's why they are cash rich. But the other side of the coin is that they are now minus Nicholas Kuhn, minus Jota, sadly because of serious injury and won't be seen again this year, minus Kyogo, who left in January and has not been adequately replaced. And so Celtic, having taken in £30 million in 2025, are obliged to assist Brendan Rodgers and get this money, if not all of it, a very large percentage of it spent on new arrivals.
Malcolm, what have you made of Celtic's business so far?
Well, I don't know what it's up to. Celtic's business. I want to say Hugh's just been Hugh all summer. All we've heard of is the amount of millions that's coming into Rangers. And I can't even had two guys on last night speaking yesterday. But no one says that's been spoke a takeover. Is that we had Dazzler earlier on in the pre-season discussing Leeds and Rangers issues about qualifying for the Champions League. Now we're discussing the free transfers, the loan deals, and okay, they spent 3.5 million in a boy, but it's only 3.5 million. Then we've got Hugh saying that Celtic's cash rich and they need replacements. They'll get replacements. Just give it time. There's no need to get a bit too excited yet.
Well, you know, I'll come back to me in a fortnight's time. You know, there's a danger of complacency creeping in. I've been listening to the calls all week, and the Celtic supporters, with one exception, have been complacent. Hugh being Hugh is all very well, but Hugh being Hugh was being factually correct. They have taken in £30 million. Unarguable there.
Yeah, I'll put my buck on then.
We've got you, Malcolm.
Sorry, factually correct is year on year, Celtic's trading model exceeds any other in most of Europe, and you're still shooting it down, Hugh.
I'm not shooting it. No,
you're shooting it down. You're shooting it down. How much millions year on year has Celtic made, and you're still making a mockery of it?
I'm not mocking anyone. I'm pointing out the corporate way of the world. If you accumulate £30 million, then you are surely obliged to reinvest some of that money. That's why supporters buy season tickets. I do understand that when it comes to the player trading model, Celtic are without peer, probably in Britain, the way they go about their business. However, in football, you have to keep maintaining progress. They are now minus Nicholas Kuhn, minus Kyogo Furuhashi, minus Jota, and they have a Champions League qualifier coming up. I don't think it's unrealistic, scaremongering, or any other expression you care to use to say that Celtic have to be aware of that Champions League qualifier and have to give Brendan Rodgers the tools to do the job.
Yes, but Hugh, honestly, and all thingy, if Celtic didn't achieve the Champions League, they're not going to go down the tubes. If we spend like other clubs in Scotland and end up in a 2012 situation, is that financially sustainable?
I mean, you keep going back to Rangers. Rangers have nothing to do. Well, you mentioned 2012. In other words, what happened in 2012 was that Rangers administration liquidation. I'm not referring to Rangers in any way, shape, or form. I began the programme by saying this was a
amount of money. Then,
well, they spent £20 million on Arne Engels and Adamida. Yes. That's because they should be spending at that level. And they have the money to spend at that level. And for you to say, if they don't make the Champions League, they won't go out of business, that's a daft argument for me. They are obliged to try everything they can to get to the Champions League because that's what excites Brendan Rodgers. That's what moves Celtic forward. They have dominated this country for a long, long time, 13 of the last 14 titles. But Brendan Rodgers wants to see Celtic advance in Europe. That's how you grow the club. That's how you become bigger in stature.
Every Celtic supporter wants to see the same. Every Celtic supporter.
Well, therefore, you are three players down going into a Champions League qualifier. You have time to spend the money that you have gained through your own business acumen.
It's July the 11th.
That's it, Hugh. Because Celtic's qualifiers aren't until after the league season starts, Celtic afforded themselves time, haven't they, to be able to take their time over signings. They don't need to make any huge panic signings now.
I'm not suggesting that they must have players in by next Friday. I'm simply saying that today is a watershed day because the Nicholas Kuhn transfer is a staggering piece of business by Celtic, adding to their other staggering pieces of business, but they have accumulated now tens of millions of pounds and they are obliged to keep taking the club in a forward-going direction.
But the way Celtic have done business, you look at Nicholas Kuhn coming in 18 months ago for, what, £3 million? And he's now been sold for £17 million after being a huge contributor last season. What if Celtic have signed Benjamin Nygren and there's a chance that he goes on to do exactly the same thing, and he is the Nicholas Kuhn replacement, and Celtic have got in there ahead of time. Well, they may well think that, and that's how Celtic's model has worked. They've not got, yes, they've gone out and signed players for big money, but they've also various times gone out and signed players for not much money that have actually turned out to be key players that have gone on to be sold for a lot of money.
I fully understand all of that. All I'm saying is that they are obliged to keep going forward, to grow in stature. No one knows if Brendan Rodgers is here for this season alone and then goes, or has it in mind to sign an extension. But I can guarantee you that if Brendan Rodgers feels he's getting the players in that he needs to develop the squad, and remember, it's only last May since they lost a Scottish Cup final to Aberdeen on a day that the squad was found wanting, then that's what Brendan Rodgers wants to see. I'm not saying it has to be done the day after tomorrow. I'm simply saying that if you ask the Celtic supporters tonight, July 11, as Malcolm reminds me of the date, if you said to the Celtic supporters, Celtic don't need to spend any more money, they're good to go for the start of the season, I think, I cannot guarantee, but I think 99% would say, you're joking.
Malcolm, just to move the conversation on slightly, you know, the money that Celtic will get in for Nicholas Kuhn, the money that I think Celtic fans would expect will be spent going forward, where does Brendan Rodgers need to spend that on the squad?
I'd like to see a solid rock at centre defence. I think the boy Haas maybe fits that bill. I think somebody else in midfield to allow Callum McGregor to get a bit of rest or even push him forward one. And I'd love to see, it's got to be a winger. It's got to be a winger that can cut in.
Well, thank you to Malcolm, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to wade into that debate. Maybe you want to talk about Russell Martin's comments today, talking about Jadon Gassama's deal, Robin Proper away but potentially not bringing in another centre-back. Or maybe you're looking forward to the start of the Premier Sports Cup. Partick Thistle away to Edinburgh City tonight. A whole host of games tomorrow. You can get in touch, 0141 951 1025. But we've always got time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, your turn to take on Hugh Keevans at Beat the Pundit. It was a late victory for Gordon DL last night with a very last question. Kind of annoyed me, actually, the way he won it.
13 goals for Scott McTominay.
Yeah, he just a guess. A one in three guess, and he
12,
ended up 13, winning it.
14. He did what all the contestants on the chase do.
Straight down the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But he also provided the highlight of the week. You and he provided my highlight of the week on Tuesday when you asked him the player whose name is the same as that of a former Secretary General of the UN. And I thought to myself, Gordon DL will never have heard of the United Nations, and there's absolutely no chance whatsoever that Gordon DL has ever heard of Kofi Annan.
We were also taking the gamble that he actually knew any of the Motherwell players either at that rate as well, but no, he did not get that. But maybe the questions will be a bit easier tonight. Your chance to take on Hugh Keevans at Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is ring 0141 951 1025 now, and you can be up next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on what's been a lively old start to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Maybe you want to get involved, 0141 951 1025, whatever is on your mind, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
One defeat in five for you. Not bad in the summer league, Hugh. 75% win rate.
I'll take that.
Surely, actually, it's more. More than that. It's wrong on my sheet, the numbers. But anyway, you're doing well. Four wins, one defeat. Good work by Hugh Keevans. Callum is in East Kilbride. Callum, how do you fancy your chances?
Not sure. Hugh's not too bad sometimes.
Have you played before?
Not played before, no.
How do you normally get on when you're playing along at home?
About a 3-4.
Okay. Hugh, that's, would you say that's about normal for you? About a 4-ish?
Yeah, I would say that's my average, yeah.
Okay, this could be a close game. We'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans. So he can't hear us. Callum, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out for time. How does that sound?
Yeah, no problem.
Let's do it. Nicholas Kuhn wore what shirt number at Celtic?
17.
How many trebles did Walter Smith win at Rangers?
3.
Scott Allen has joined the coaching staff of which club?
East Kilbride.
True or false, Dundee boss Stephen Presley played for Dundee United?
False.
Name either Scottish team playing in next season's Europa League.
Dundee United.
What was the name of the player Ali McCoist played in the film A Shot at Glory? What nationality is former Scotland manager Bertie Vokes?
German.
Okay, we will bring Hugh Keevans back in. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can, after Rhythm is a Dancer.
Oh, you having that? You like that? Not really?
Pass.
Okay, right, we'll see if you do better on Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds on the clock, let's go. Nicholas Kuhn wore what shirt number at Celtic?
7.
How many trebles did Walter Smith win at Rangers?
2.
Scott Allen has joined the coaching staff of which club?
East Kilbride Thistle.
True or false, Dundee boss Stephen Presley played for Dundee United?
He did.
Name either Scottish team playing in next season's Europa League?
Hearts.
What was the name of the player Ali McCoist played in the film A Shot at Glory?
Jake McQuillan.
What nationality is former Scotland manager Bertie Vokes?
German.
How do you think it went, Callum?
I think he's done me on Ali McCoist, man.
We'll see. We will see. Right. Nicholas Kuhn wore what shirt number at Celtic? Callum went for 17. Hugh went for 7. The answer is 10. So neither of you get it. How many trebles did Walter Smith win for Rangers? Just 1 is the answer to that. So neither of you got that. Remains 0-0. Scott Allen has joined the coaching staff of which club? The answer is East Kilbride. You both got it. So it is 1-1. True or false, Dundee boss Stephen Presley played for Dundee United. Callum went false. Hugh went true. It is true. So it's 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. Name either Scottish team playing in next season's Europa League. Neither of you got it. Hibs and Aberdeen.
Oh.
Remember where Hearts finished in the league, Hugh?
Of course.
Come on. Right. Still 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. What was the name of the player Ali McCoy's played in the film A Shot at Glory? Callum passed this. I'm not sure on your answer. You said Jake McQuillan, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
It's Jackie McQuillan. I'm not sure we can give you that.
Oh,
it's so close.
Very
it's
harsh.
So close, but I'm not sure we can give you it. I don't know if he gets referred to as Jake at any point throughout the film, but I think it's Jackie McQuillan, not Jake McQuillan. So it remains 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. It comes down to the last question. You both got to it. What nationality is former Scotland manager Bertie Vokes? Callum got it right by saying German. Hugh Keevans got it right by saying German. So it is a 3-2 win for Hugh Keevans. Unlucky, Callum.
Well, I'm here.
Thanks, Callum.
So no signed ball going to Callum. But we will be back next week to play Beat the Pundit. You will have your chance to win a signed ball. But more importantly, the bragging rights against one of the pundits. The pundit's doing pretty well, actually, across this summer league. And Hugh, you go up again. That is 5 wins from 6 for you. Gordon DL is rock bottom of the table. Literally every single other pundit has a 100% record throughout the summer, which is pretty good going. I don't know if there's been a change in the level of questions. I don't know whether...
I'll tell you what, I'm going back to watch A Shot at Glory to see if at any point he's referred to as Jake McQuillan.
Okay, well...
I'll phone Coisty.
Yeah, and then you can get in touch with one of the producers because it was their questions, not mine. Anyway, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. No matter what you want to talk about, maybe you want to get involved in the debate about Celtic transfers that Hugh was having with a caller earlier on. Rangers fans, we've heard from Russell Martin about some transfers today. Robin Proper on his way out, maybe not expecting another centre-back to come in. Some players on the move as well, the likes of Jose Cifuentes, Leon King, Clinton Nsiala are expected to leave as well, and JD Gassama. Russell Martin hoping that deal goes ahead. And of course, the competitive action starting this weekend as well. So get in touch, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit from Russell Martin, shall we, before we go back to the phones. He was speaking to Sky Sports today and he was saying, he was talking about the competition between Max Aarons and James Tavernier and the competition he wants throughout the squad.
If you play for Rangers, there needs to be a level of discomfort or uncertainty about your role in the team. I don't think anyone can be nailed on. I think you need to be able to prove yourself every single week. So I played 300 games at a club and captained for a lot of them and never felt comfortable once, and was tried to replace me every single season with different players. And at this club in particular, I think we have to strive for that. We have to keep pushing people. So how people respond, whether that's Tav, whether it's anyone else in the squad, when new players are coming, how people respond will dictate if they play, when they play, how they play. There's definitely a chance that Max and Tav can be on the same pitch together, for sure. It's not just going to be one or the other. But Max has definitely added to the quality of the group. Yeah, you're not living fear and anxiety, but they have to know that they have to be really, every day, bring the best version of themselves in the way they behave, their habits, the way they perform, the way they train, because it's the only way I think we will be successful together, is everyone to push each other, and that includes pushing us as a coaching staff and questioning things when they're uncertain, they don't understand the why. I think it's the culture we have to create.
Yeah, Russell Martin speaking to Sky Sports at their training base at St George's Park this afternoon. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out between James Tavernier and Max Aarons this season. Yeah. Russell Martin saying they could play together, but certainly there will be a bit of competition there.
Well, Tavernier can play more than one position, so you know that's an option for Russell Martin. With regard to Tavernier as an individual, everyone will go on about him being 10 years at Rangers, testimonial coming out, go on about his age as opposed to Max Aaron's age. But as Russell Martin has just said, no one gets a free pass on the grounds of age or any other factor. You have to be doing it to get in. So it's a perfectly understandable principle.
Let's go back to the phone. Simon is a Kilmarnock fan in Hindland. Simon, are you making the journey up to Brora tomorrow?
Yeah, hi guys, how you doing? Hope you had a good summer.
You too.
Yeah, so 7 o'clock train from Queen Street tomorrow morning. A bit better than my pals in Kilmarnock, who are having to get the 5:22 train from Killy to make that train. But yeah, it's going to be a long day, but I'm looking forward to getting the football back.
That's the commitment that we like to see, Hugh, though. Supporters, yeah. First competitive game of the season, making that big, big journey up.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'd just like to go back to, I think, Simon, don't let me put words in your mouth and don't let me be inaccurate. At the time of Stuart Kettlewell's appointment, were you entirely on board with that?
I was actually on the phone to you. I was over in Germany and I was on a phone the night it got announced that it was going to happen, and I was raging. I think it was I said at the time it was a cheap option. I feel like the stories that have came out and the information that's came out in terms of the cutbacks at the club, in terms of the money we're having to save because we're making seven-figure losses when we had Derek as our manager. The players were on a lot of money. Derek was on a lot of money. And I think that's we're having to cut back. We're building the training ground, which is obviously nearly finished, and we should be in by the end of the season, which is great news as well. But he was the cheap option. But you know, I've been quietly impressed with the signings. I think that we filled some of the holes of play needed. You know, Jamie Brandon, the Livy captain, I think that's a good signing. He's been really solid. Greg Kilty, obviously a Killy fan, he's done well at St Mirren. Tiffany's a decent player at this level. And then you've got the sort of unknown ones. Tom Lowry came in from Portsmouth, like a kind of ball playing midfielder. He looks like he's got a good record. And the big boy, Marcus Dackers, who's going to be so much fun this season to watch. I was saying to my friends, we've been watching him in pre-season. He's 6'7" or 6'8". He's really, really tall and lanky, but we're either going to sell him for $2 million next year, or he'll go on a free transfer in January, because he's one of those ones that could go either way. But he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting season to say the least. Kettlewell's not won me over yet, but I think you know, we'll see when the games start you know, afoot. But it's an okay start so far in terms of the signing.
He had a bit of a hard time from some of the Motherwell fans, and he didn't react well to it all the time. You're man enough to admit that you thought it was a cheap option, but now you're going to give him every chance. Will your fellow Kilmarnock fans do the same?
And people over looking online and speaking to folk, he speaks really well. I don't think that's ever been in doubt. He comes across really, really well. I can see why players would like to play for him. I think that's going to give him some time. I think tomorrow's actually really, really big for him. I know it's the first game and all that. You can say it's the start of the season, but I feel a little bit like this could be a similar situation to Alessio, when he was at the Konus Key Nomads game. I think that set him up for failure, and some people never forgave him for losing that game. Obviously, this wouldn't be as bad as that one, but Brough are a Highland League team. I think with the negativity about the appointment, and if we go up to Brough and lose or draw, I think that could set people in, okay, I'm not going to give him the chance that he probably deserves, or he does deserve a chance to do it. And I think with Alessio, a lot of Kilmarnock fans didn't give him that chance, even though it was obvious that the tide was turning and that we were actually doing quite well under him. I think we sacked him when we were sitting in fifth place, which is crazy for a Kilmarnock man. But, yeah, so I think he should be given the time, but tomorrow's a really, really crucial game for him, I think, in terms of keeping the fans on side early and the ones who are maybe not too sure about him, keep making sure they stay on side.
Simon makes a good point, because you hear managers, and some of them maybe deal with the League Cup group stages in different ways. Some of them look at it as a bit more of just a competitive pre-season. Others look at it and think, well, this could be an opportunity to get to Hampden, so we really need to go for it. But Simon just talking about the optics of it, that if you are a new manager with a new squad, you're coming up against lower league opposition, snap judgments will be made by supporters, because that's what supporters do.
This is the global capital of snap judgments. Go back to Stephen Naismith a year ago. Poor pre-season, I think he got turned over at Fleetwood, and he was out of the Hearts job 7 or 8 games into the season. So it's important, the optics, correct. For Stuart Kettlewell, the way things ended for him at Motherwell, the publicity that then followed, again, as I say, Simon's honest enough to admit that he didn't fancy him, but he, Stuart Kettlewell, has to start doing it from tomorrow. There is no other way.
Well, thank you to Simon. Hope you enjoy that journey up to Brough tomorrow morning, and the rest of the Kilmarnock fans. Of course, plenty of other Premier Sports Cup games ongoing this weekend, so looking forward to those. Any thoughts that you want to add to that or anything else after the break? 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. But Hugh, we have been inundated with calls and tweets about Beat the Pundit.
Oh?
About one of your answers.
Oh?
There's a steward's inquiry, and we're going to listen to it right now. The question was, Scott Allen has joined the coaching staff of which club? The answer to that is East Kilbride. Let's hear what Hugh said. Scott Allen has joined the coaching staff of which club?
East Kilbride Thistle.
East Kilbride Thistle. EK Thistle are a completely different team from East Kilbride. So, that answer's wrong. And it means it finished 2-2. And right, it means we've got Callum back on the phone for a tiebreaker. Callum, the public were crying out for you to come back on. They were right, and you're going to get your chance. How are you feeling?
Brilliant, brilliant. I noticed it as well, but I didn't want to fill him up.
Oh, no, you should have said it. You should have said it. You should have pulled me up, in fairness. I just heard East Kilbride and my mind went to the next question, so I'll take some of the blame for that one. Funnily enough, Callum is from East Kilbride as well. Yep. So we'll see if he can win on this tiebreaker. So Callum, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out the question. I'm going to get Hugh to write down his answer. Once he's written it down, we're going to get you to shout out your answer, and then we'll see who has won. The tiebreaker: how many current SPFL clubs have never won the Scottish Cup? How many current SPFL clubs have never won the Scottish Cup? We are waiting for Hugh to write down his answer. Callum, we have Hugh's answer. What's your answer, Callum?
24.
Callum says 24. Hugh, can you hold up and speak into the mic so the people at home can see it?
27.
27. The answer is 22. Callum wins. Yeah. What a turnaround it is. The people got what they wanted. Callum got back on and he's won. Unlucky Hugh.
Well, you see, it's nice to know we have a vigilant audience. So Jake McQuillan is actually Jackie McQuillan, so I don't get that. And I go one word too many with East Kilbride. But anyway, well done, Callum. And you have an adoring public there who are delighted to see the pundit beaten.
Well done, Callum. A sign ball is on its way to you. We'll make sure that Hugh Keevan's signature is on there as well. There we go. We had to do that, really, didn't we? We had to.
It's amazing how close we were, the pair of us.
Oh yeah, very, very close. But the answer to that was 22. Callum wins, Hugh Keevans. That means that your win percentage goes down. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We've still got time to squeeze in a call before the end of the show. While we do that, why don't we hear from one of the players involved in the Premier Sports Cup this weekend, St Mirren captain Mark O'Hara. He's targeting a cup run with St Mirren this season. He says it's something they've been missing recently and he thinks they're capable of doing it.
A cup run is something that we haven't achieved in my time here. I think an aim that we'd like to do is get to Hampden. As I say, we've been more than capable. We've shown that in the league that we can beat anyone, and it's probably been disappointing for us and the fans that we haven't managed to achieve a good cup run, and that's something that we definitely want to do this year. Since I've been here, we've beat anyone, and something we've let ourselves down with in the past has been the cup, and we've spoke already, and I think that's something as a group and for the staff and all that we want to achieve, that we want a cup run, we want to get to Hampden, want that day out, and as you say, we're more than capable of doing it, so we just need to make sure that we approach these games right firstly and give ourselves the best chance we can. Obviously the success before in the cup, and it's the boys that played that, they're legends here, and I think that's what we want to achieve. We've obviously had success with the top six in Europe and things like that, but as this group we want a cup run, we want to be successful in the cup, and as I said, winning a cup would be a special way to do that. I think when you look in the stadium and see all the photos and just see the celebrations from the last time and the town really come together, it's something that we're capable of and would like to give the fans.
Yeah, St Mirren have had so much success under Stephen Robinson. Three times in a row they finished in the top six. They've had some big wins, but they've just not had that cup run, which is obviously something that is, you know, eating away at Mark O'Hara, and I'm sure Stephen Robinson, although he's obviously done it with Motherwell, got to two cup finals, that he'd love to be able to do it with St Mirren now.
I've been there twice when St Mirren won a cup final. I go all the way back to my great friend Alex Smith, who led St Mirren to the Scottish Cup win over Dundee United. And then after the millennium started, we had St Mirren, the epic final against Hearts, was it? They won 3-2, if memory serves me correctly. And on both occasions, Paisley erupted, and it was wonderful to see. And Stephen Robinson deserves a place in a cup final. He's done a tremendous job there at St Mirren. But it's a long old way to get there, and you have to beat them and the other lot if you're going to win it, Celtic and Rangers.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Justin is a Rangers fan in Bridgeton. Justin, what have you got for us tonight?
How are we doing, guys? Long time no speak. There was a couple of points I had tonight. The first one was, I was quite surprised with your caller earlier on, talking to the Celtic fan, talking about Nicholas Kuhn and the transfer and obviously the fantastic fee that they got. I'm just a wee bit surprised, Paul, like you, wondering why Rangers then come into that conversation. It seemed a bit odd, but as I say, that seems to be the way things are going. But my point about Rangers tonight was, obviously we've been linked a lot with the likes of Jamie Vardy and Luke de Jong, and I was just interested to think what Hugh's kind of opinion on it would have been between the two, because I've seen a lot of people comparing Vardy to the likes of Jermaine Defoe. Uh-huh. And I kind of agree with Andy Halliday in the fact that they're very, very different types of players, as much as they've both got pace and stuff like that. But I think Jermaine Defoe's a different type of player. I would personally like to see Luke de Jong there. I think that would be more suited to us.
Before
Vardy, but I'd be interested to see what you thought.
Before we get to de Jong or Vardy, I'm thinking about Eggman and Dessers, because Rangers, we go on and on about a player trading model. Rangers, the wage bill is going up and no one's leaving the building, and Rangers have to do business and cash in on some of the players, and I'm sure that will happen. So I think either Eggman or Dessers, but not both, one of them's going. And for me, all a matter of personal opinion, I think Jamie Vardy, I don't care how old he is, Jamie Vardy would score plenty of goals here for one season. I'd have every confidence in him. I listened to Roger Hanna the other night, and he seemed to think that it was a non-starter. And I would always bow to my fellow old hack. But if it came to pass, I think Jamie Vardy would score 20 goals here in a season, no problem.
Justin?
Yeah, I don't doubt that he would score goals, and I probably agree with you to a point. I think Rangers are at a situation where I don't think they can just hope that Dessers goes. I mean, the money that they're talking about for Dessers at, what, 4 million and stuff like that. There's not many 20-goal-a-season strikers that you can buy for 4 million across the world. That's something I think that's a bit light for what he is, as much as it can be frustrating. Eggman is a talent, but still raw, I think. So I probably agree we do need to get players out the door, people like Proper and things like that, I think need to be moved on. I think McCausland, people like that need to be going.
But I think a more expensive one, Justin, has to go as well, because the reason why 49ers Enterprises are here, Rangers were a failing business model. We had Dave King, former chairman, referring to investor fatigue. People had put money into Rangers and it just wasn't working. That's why Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marat are here. And they have to establish something approaching Celtic. Celtic have lots more experience of it and do it far, far better. But they have to do something approaching Celtic and get a proper player trading model up and running. And right now, 5 players in, with the possibility of it rising to 6 or 7 by the start of next week, and no one going out, is not sound business.
Justin, if Rangers are to sort of kick off that player trading model this summer and there is to be a bigger asset that's to go, who do you feel is maybe most vulnerable or most likely to go?
I think obviously the 2 kind of prize assets you would probably think, or 3 prize assets you'd be thinking just now is Diamandé, Raskin and Eggman. For money, you know, kind of large sums of money, 10 million plus. Personally, I agree and accept everything that you said, but I think the priority for Rangers isn't necessarily the player trading model at the moment. I think this season, Rangers' priority is winning the league and having a consistent run in Europe and building that, then looking at the player trading model. It's not an either or, but I think the priority and the focus for Rangers fans and probably the new board is win the league. I think that's the first priority before we start worrying about player trading models, because the player trading model can be great, and if we don't win the league again, then, you know, there's pressure on the manager, there's pressure on everybody.
Yeah.
So I think the first priority is win the league, win a cup, progress in Europe, or have a good run in Europe, and then build on the player trading model.
Yeah, I fully understand. That's every Rangers fan's ambition, to take over from Celtic and win the league. At the same time, Rangers have to be careful, and I'm not telling Andrew Kavanagh anything he doesn't already know. There's a business side that has to be taken care of in tandem with what happens on the park. And right now, there's an imbalance. All players coming in, nobody going out. Wage bill rising, not good business. So players will be going out before very long at Ibrox because they have to.
Well, thank you to Justin. That's all we've got time for on the phones tonight. We will be back next week, and it will be after a weekend of competitive action. That all kicks off in the Premier Sports Cup tonight at 7:45 between Edinburgh City and Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle. Lots of good games on the go tomorrow, so if you're out and about at those matches, anywhere it is in the country, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself in the sunshine. It is to be a scorcher of a weekend. Looking forward to it. And it is, of course, as always, on a Friday. What a way to get your weekend started. It is the GBX. That's up next.